Thank you for listening to the Damage Report podcast, the show covering the true threats facing our country and what you can actually do about them. You can support this free podcast by leaving us a review and giving us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you happen to be listening to it. Every review helps more people discover the show at no cost to you. Welcome everyone to another week of the Damage Report. I am John Iderola. We're out of election week. Mm-hmm. It's done. After what it felt like a year of just covering that election. So now we can relax with the 2020 presidential election, which starts now. I joke, sort of, but some people have already declared, which we'll briefly mention. But I am here. It's Monday, so Brooke is here.
Yay!
As well. Brooke.
I'm glad to be here.
Welcome back.
Yes.
You've probably seen her on Veronica Mars, but she's here today. No, I'm kidding.
But I was here Friday too, so it's like this is really
bookending the weeks
there.
Yeah. Yeah, so as I said, we're out of the election now. I mean, obviously some of the races still haven't been called, which makes it kind of still exciting.
Bizarre.
But
yeah.
Already a couple people have declared that they're running for the Democratic nomination for the presidency.
Who?
It's so Richard Ojeda, who ran as a congressman in West Virginia. And I think that they were saying that, I think it was Eric Swalwell. I don't know if he formally announced, but it was like somebody told Politico. So it seems pretty official. And it's like, dude, no, we're gonna do that. We're gonna do that for a really, really, really long time.
Right.
It's not even 2019 yet.
I mean, the current president's been campaigning for a long time now. So
that's
true. I guess it's only fair.
And look, I get that there's a lot of pressure on them because if you expect that come March, 15, 25 people are going to announce, you want to stand out. And if, like in the case of Richard Ojeda, if you just finished a campaign, you don't want that to like go fallow or whatever. You want to like keep it going. So it makes sense to announce a little bit earlier, but this is still so early.
Right.
And we've got to figure out, you know, what this new House majority is going to do. We're going to have to see how Donald Trump attempts to govern in a time of divided government for the first time. These are like big questions that I think the country is going to be focused on. I think some of the people declaring now might find that they get less purchase because people aren't ready for it. But we'll see. We'll see.
Who's a dream candidate for you? Like just like out of the blue, just a dream.
A dream candidate?
Someone who just should just announce. Like just a. Not even a dream candidate, but just somebody that would be fascinating to see run. I don't know anything.
I thought you knew me better. You think I still have dreams. My dreams have been killed. I mean, look, I want Bernie to run.
Okay.
I want that to happen.
Okay.
You know, I'm maybe Hillary.
Yeah.
No, obviously not. No. Although there was that editorial over the weekend about that. Well, do you have one?
I don't. But you know, I would be fascinated to see if like America could do what Texas couldn't. I think a Beto just presidential campaign would be fascinating to cover.
So I've seen that all over the place.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just not there.
I
thought he was an exciting candidate, but yeah. I just don't know enough about him and what he would do as president to get behind him.
Can it get any worse?
No, I mean, obviously he'd be, I mean, look, if it was like you can have him or you can press a button and get a random Democrat, obviously I'd press the button on him. But I'm just not quite there.
I think like people across America were more excited about that than Texans in general. So I would be fascinated to see just how the country reacted.
And the thing is, like, there's a lot of people who, like, I like them. Mm-hmm. I think that they're dynamic candidates. I agree with them on the issues that I know about, but I am going to be hesitant, you know, before anyone other than probably Bernie at this point, just because I don't know how they'll run against Trump. So pragmatically, I don't know what sort of candidate they'll be. And also many of them, even if they've been in elected office like Beto has, I haven't seen them really make themselves clear on the biggest issues that the campaign will really be about. So I just can't.
Yeah.
I can't sign up.
Okay.
That said, The Rock 2020.
Yes.
I don't know. For all I know, he might be a Republican.
No, I think he clearly is, right?
No,
I think
say that.
No.
Don't say that. He's a good guy. He's The Rock. Come on.
He can still be a good guy. But
no,
I think he's like a lifelong Republican now.
Come on. Look at the way he like feuds with Kevin Hart. He's got to be a Democrat.
Okay. All right.
I don't know.
We'll go with that.
Anyway, we'll see. Okay. Why don't we transition into some serious news? Lots we're going to get to. Just, you know, buckle up. We'll get to it. But serious stuff first. Three wildfires are still raging across California. They are absolutely terrible. In fact, history-making wildfires. So the worst is the Camp Fire that has so far burned more than 111,000 acres in just the past 4 or so days. At one point, it was growing at a rate of 1 football field every second. It's killed at least 29 people and incinerated more than 6,400 structures. Now, I have since heard that 31 people have died in the fires, but I don't know for sure if they're attributing that to the campfire or if they're lumping together, since we do have fires across the entirety of the state at this point. More than 200 people remain unaccounted for, raising the possibility that more than the 31 will have died. Search crews and emergency workers have been scouring the incinerated remains of the town of Paradise, which is still evacuated of its residents. That town was, I believe, entirely destroyed. Every building has burned down. And we've seen that in some other areas as well. Overall, from the three fires, an estimated 250,000 people have been forced to flee their homes. I believe that the Woolsey fire, which is closer to LA, I think that that has led to something like 175,000 people being evacuated into LA. Mm-hmm. So obviously that's gigantic too. And in terms of the deaths, that campfire has now equaled the deadliest on record in California. That was the 1933 Griffith Park disaster in LA. So making history in obviously a horrible, horrible way.
Yeah. No, this is horrible. It's so sad. Not only are people losing their homes, people are losing their lives. And then the two people in the car and the reports that, mm-hmm. you know, obviously they can't know exactly what happened right now, but they think that the driver kind of lost consciousness trying to flee the fire.
Yeah.
This is horrifying. Yeah,
it's scary. I mean, the imagery going around, like I know, I think that the country is focused on it a good bit, but we could keep coming back to it in California because we're one of the worst hit states. Yeah. There are other states that have bad forest fires, but now it's a perpetual thing. As we were saying earlier this year when stuff like this was happening, people who deal with this stuff are saying that there used to be a fire season in LA or in California, but there's not anymore. There's just fire season. It's just the new normal. Things are so dry perpetually. I don't know why, nobody knows why things are drier on average than they usually were. We just need good forest management. That's what the president says.
All right.
As he blames California for forests that I believe are 98% federally managed. I'm sure he knows that when he says it. And then threatens to take money away. That's what he says as the death toll continues to rise. He threatens to take away the money because it's our management that's really the problem, not climate change or anything like that.
Just, you know, when people are dying in fires, even if the president actually believed that and had some sort of like factual proof that wasn't, then and there weren't all of this science saying exactly why this is happening, mm-hmm. you would just think that just out of the fact that you're the person leading the country, you would not speak like that.
Yeah.
In a moment like this,
well, he just wouldn't he hates
even
California.
It's not even a space for it. Yeah.
I want to give you some of the other numbers. I'm going to skip slightly ahead. Six of the top 10 most destructive fires have occurred since 2015. Wow. These records go back a century. So this is, I mean, just in the past 3 years, we are expecting this to be constant. You barely get out of the horrific hurricane season in other parts of the world, and then you are in the midst of fire season here in California. Over 800,000 acres or 1,250 square miles have burned just this year. That's about four times the average for this point in this year. And so look at Woolsey fire. I think they said it's about 20% controlled. Others are entirely uncontrolled still at this point. More people likely to be dead of those who are missing. And we can just expect that that is going to be a constant thing that we will be reporting on in California because we will not do what is necessary to stop these conditions from existing.
Well, we will.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic. Or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be. Featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity, the UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
you must unlearn what you have learned.
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Yeah, we will, but we don't have any power, really. Right. We can talk about it and hope that people will vote based on it, but the politicians are the ones who actually have to do it. So that said, we are gonna take our first break. We come back, lots to get to. Two politicians, a Republican senator, a Republican congressman, saying dreadfully xenophobic and racist things after this. Welcome back to the show, everyone. During the break, we were actually just talking about money and happiness and things like that. And maybe if we have a little bit of time at the end of the show, we'll get back into that.
Okay.
And how, you know, obviously if you don't have the resources to pay for certain things, it's a huge issue. We see that all over America. But then also we see these incredibly rich people that seem not at all happy and desperately want more money on sort of the opposite end. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk about that a little bit. But before then, let's talk a little bit about the environment. So in the UK, they are having a debate right now about a political ad that is being banned over being too political. We have political ads here in America. So let's get an idea of which ad is too political for the UK.
Okay.
There's a orangutan in my bedroom and I don't know what to do. She plays with all my teddies and keeps borrowing my shoe. She destroys all of my houseplants and she keeps on shouting, ooh. She throws away my chocolate and she howls at my shampoo. Orangutan in my bedroom, just before you go, why were you in my bedroom? I really want to know. There's a human in my forest and I don't know what to do. He destroys all of our trees for your food and your shampoo. There's a human in my forest and I don't know what to do. He took away my mother and I'm scared he'll take me too. There are humans in my forest and I don't know what to do. They're burning it for palm oil. So I thought I'd stay with you. Orangutan in my bedroom. Now I do know what to do. I'll fight to save your home and I'll stop you feeling blue. I'll share your story far and wide so others can fight too. Orangutan in my bedroom, I swear it on the stars. The future's not yet written, but I'll make sure it is ours.
Ooh, that was rough. So you saw that right now. You didn't see it on the airwaves in the UK because it's too political, but it was made by Iceland, which is a UK supermarket that has 900 stores that they decided earlier this year to ban palm oil over the environmental impact of the manufacture of it, as they talk about in that ad. Does that strike you as too political compared to the things that we see all the time?
I mean, obviously different countries. Informative and like very cutesy, broken down. I that seems pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
And you would still, as an adult, be able to decide if you care or not, or if it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's a weird thing.
Yeah.
Do they let racist ads run rampant like we do here?
I think that they in general, I mean, look, most countries are far more restrictive in terms of political stuff. You don't see the swamping of political ads, for instance. I mean, like candidate specific ads.
Right.
But we have not only those, we also have like ads for, you know, BP and Exxon that are clearly political statements disguised as ads for the companies.
Right.
Like if you go on MSNBC, you will see ads for BP. It's not like you could go and buy a barrel of oil or something. Clearly, they're just trying to influence the political message or the political dialogue going on. This ad, by the way, was created originally by Greenpeace. The voice that you heard was Emma Thompson. The ad has been available on their website. They were hoping to reach a bigger audience. The idea being, of course, that palm oil, like they banned it in Iceland, the supermarket, not the country, but they'd like it to spread beyond that, obviously.
That seems, I mean, it seems like a PSA. I don't see what the harm is in having this air.
Well, let's talk about why it apparently didn't pass their standards.
Okay.
Clearcast is the body responsible for clearing ads on behalf of the four major UK commercial broadcasters, said the ad was in breach of political advertising rules in the country's broadcasting code. The rules prohibit advertising that is, quote, inserted by or on behalf of a group that is of a wholly or mainly of a political nature. So I guess technically, if this ad was made by Greenpeace, that is an organization that is wholly or mostly a political group. That's a weird reason to ban it.
It's like, a weird rule to have.
If the kid had made it, would it be okay then?
And on the opposite side, if the palm oil manufacturers, like, or like, you know, if the shampoo ads are fine, they're using it, they're totally fine.
Even though, yeah, there are political implications to that. So you mentioned, you know, people can still, it's still up to people whether they want to accept it or not. And watching this ad and thinking about the reaction it would get from regular people, I also thought about an editorial that I read just like a week ago. And it was why do we hate vegans? And it was really interesting because there was a newspaper editor who apparently got an article, a prospective article sent in by a vegan, it's like recipes or something like that. And the newspaper editor responded to the writer and said something about how the article should be about how you can kill and eat vegans or something. And the newspaper editor ended up losing his job because right. that's psychotic. Why right. did you do that? But the article is about why do we hate vegans so much? And when you poll people, they hate, like, it's of all the groups that we despise in society, vegans are right at
yeah.
all, like atheists and things like that. Like, there's a lot of hate for them, obviously.
Because nobody else is so loud.
Is that the reason?
Yes.
Is it actually the reason?
Yes.
I don't know that it is the reason.
I know that
I've never been a vegan. I think it's crazy. I don't think you can do it. But I don't hate vegans. But when I've been a vegetarian, understand I'm not a vegetarian right now. When I've been a vegetarian, I will say that I had friends who said that I talked about it a lot, but the only time we ever talked about it was when they would bring it up to me. It was my meat-eating friends who were desperate to debate eating meat with me.
Are you sure? How would they even know that you were vegetarian?
Well, because I was friends with them. They know that I don't eat meat, but they were the ones bringing it up or making a big deal out of it when we'd go out and eat and things like that. I don't know that that's the experience for everybody.
I don't know. I think that once you stop eating meat, like your self-awareness mm-hmm. goes away a little bit. You
maybe
don't realize
for some people.
How often you're talking about it.
I mean, any lifestyle change.
I have seen vegans called meat eaters murderers. Okay, listen, mm-hmm. we have passed a level mm-hmm. of like.
But see, I think maybe you'll disagree. And again, I am not even a vegetarian right now.
Yeah.
But I think the reason that we react so negatively is because we know that we're wrong, I think.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it is weird that cow's milk is part of like such an everyday part of our diet, that it's in so many recipes, mm-hmm. it is so weird. I get it, but
I think the reason we don't like these ads and we don't like to hear vegetarians and vegans talk about it is because I think that on some level everybody understands that we are just avoiding an uncomfortable topic. Because we know, like, there are so many arguments for it. And again, I eat meat. I'm not trying to advocate.
This is a very generalization too. Like, I don't hate vegans. I really don't. I don't care.
Yeah, you seem fired up.
But no, I do not.
you just moved like this to me.
But they're just really loud. It's a lot.
I think some are. I think there are plenty of vegetarians that don't talk much about it.
But and they've always been like that, but these new ones are loud.
Maybe. I don't know, man. There are people who like love barbecue and love talking about barbecue. But I think that when you really think about the effect that this sort of mechanized, this massive industry that's necessary to support the eating of meat on the scale that we do, I think that everybody knows that that's not sustainable. They know the effect it's having on the world in terms of carbon and deforestation and all that. Like, we all accept that. We don't want to be reminded of it. We don't want to think about it because there's no moral argument for it. I mean, there's practical, there's preference. You can want to eat meat. Like I said, I eat meat, but there's no sustainability argument for it.
Yeah.
There's no, if you really think about it, there's no moral argument for it. The sort of institutionalized industrial cruelty that is a necessary product of our meat eating lifestyle. And I think that people, they already have so many things they have to deal with. They don't want to be reminded about this topic. They just want to be able to eat a burger or whatever.
I don't think it's that. I think it really, it's like taking away a little bit maybe of the blame of like people who shame you for your food choices.
But if they're, okay. But again,
I think
that we're exaggerating how much they do
that. Somebody walks in with McDonald's and then five people are like, oh my God, I can't believe, it's like, that's like vegans. It's like,
when does that happen?
All the time.
That five people are like, oh, McDonald's.
I can't believe you're eating that or something. Like, you've never seen that? Like,
no, I've never seen
that. Also, here, this is a very different office setting, though. Mm-hmm. Everyone is generally, not even generally, everyone is just really nice. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I've seen that. I just think food shamers are weird.
Okay.
I'm not with it.
What if the stakes are high, though?
I just think food shamers are weird.
Okay.
Because, listen, you may be vegan.
Which
so
I'm not.
You don't eat meat, but I bet you got other trash things in your life. So mm-hmm. like, let's just let people live. You know what I mean?
If you're a hot mess, maybe do
like,
with your-
you are, I'm sure. So it's like, it's the preachiness. Like,
is
I don't care.
Is it different than me saying we should change like how we produce electricity? Like, is it fundamentally different than that?
If you walk around-
Is that electricity shaming?
Turning off lights in my house, yes.
Okay, well- I've never been to your house. If I am, we'll see. I'm going to be flipping them off.
I have a comparison that's not appropriate for the camera. I'll tell you during commercial break.
Oh, geez.
No,
okay.
It's not like that. I don't want it to like hurt any feelings.
Okay. Okay. Well, anyway, if you've seen this, tweet at me. Am I dead wrong? Because I'm sure most people are going to think that. Because again, you don't want to be confronted.
Because we're you don't so ashamed think about it. Is that we eat bacon.
It is the definition of an inconvenient truth. And again, I eat meat. I'm gonna eat meat right after this show, and I will know that I am wrong when I'm doing it. Okay, with that, we're gonna take a break. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone. We totally weren't talking about animals during the break. That's a conversation that continues. I might have to become a vegetarian.
You
again.
May need to be a vegan. I feel like you need to go be with your people.
I couldn't do it. I know how weak I am in certain ways that I could not do that. I could do almost anything else, but I can't do that.
All right.
So we wanted to show you this B-roll of orangutans for two reasons. One, because we
really
made it.
Really freaking cute.
So two, a conversation started here about which was the best primate, and Brett seriously thinks that orangutans are the best primates. I have always felt like they're too weird.
No, I think they're the second best.
What's the best?
Because I just like giant gorillas. Like when you're at a zoo, and I know zoos are horrible, I know, weird, because we're trying to be better people.
They're bad.
But when you walk into something about like the pandas, and the zebras and giraffes, and then the giant gorillas that don't do anything but just sit there, are just so fast. It is like breathtaking to
me. They don't do anything except sit on the cusp of civilization. Like they're almost there, they'll use tools.
They're so fascinating to me, I don't know.
Chimps are the coolest because they're the closest to us.
I like boring animals. Chimps do too much.
I guess.
They're moving around. I like
chimps are evil.
Boring animals.
Like they go to war and things like that. It seems weird, like when you see this B-roll.
It's really cute.
Like I get that like we're gonna burn down a lot of areas and we deforest and we do all this bad stuff. But we can't even protect things that are like really close to us.
Yeah.
Like it's not even like orangutans are everywhere. Orangutans live in like 3 acres and we can't protect even that.
Dude, we can't protect all of us.
I know.
The animals have no hope.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess it's asking for too much for us to care about orangutans.
Way too much.
We can't care about someone who's like a different sect of the same religion.
Right, we can't even agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, what was I watching? It was something about the different phases of it was on The Good Place. And it was about like getting to the point. Yeah, I think it is. And it's like, first you have to conquer us, you versus us.
Yeah.
And then it's your group versus other groups, and like humanity hasn't gotten to that phase yet because we still divide ourselves along lines of religion and race and gender and all of these things. Yeah, we got some problems.
Yeah.
Okay, with that, why don't we talk about some of the people that are causing our problems? They are. I would put them in top 10 primates.
Okay.
I could name four.
Four, right. Sounds about right.
Yeah, I think I could name four. Okay, let's talk a little bit. Mississippi Republican Senator Cindy Hyde-Smith is facing a runoff against the Democrat. The Democrat is Mike Espy. This runoff's gonna happen on November 27th, and it happened because neither she nor Espy received more than 50% of the vote total on November 6th. Now, Mike Espy is both a Democrat, also African-American. It might seem weird to mention that, but it becomes relevant when you listen to one of her recent comments from over the weekend, which you'll hear right here. It was hard to hear that because a train show was scheduled next door. But you saw there, she was talking to this man. She's like, if he had a public hanging, I'd be in the front row. A public hanging Mississippi.
That's the new, right? There's been.
So like, okay, she said public hanging. Thank you for cloaking it slightly. You meant lynching and you're running against a black man in a runoff election.
That's the new thing, at least this election. No, it's not this, just not this past season, election season. It's just the new thing, maybe the past like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Say something just wildly racist, but completely out of context. Just randomly say something racist, like monkey this up. And then have a ton of people, because it was just random, say, like defend you and say that you meant something else, that it wasn't racist. Like why, I, you know.
There's like a whole cottage industry of dog whistle defenders.
Yeah.
Like your whole job, and really, like they seem to want, maybe it's just subconscious, I don't know, but the monkeyed up, the cotton picking, you know, whatever. Like it's like they feel like they need to send these signals to the racists to reassure them, no, we are on your side. But the thing is, like, do you guys not get that you have their vote?
But
they're not gonna vote for the Democrat, especially if he's black.
That's the thing though. I think that people have to stop. So it's like what a racist looks like and acts like, we have to change that. We have to break our thinking of that. So it's like if you see like one of David Duke's followers, you're like, oh, well, obviously. Like, he owns a restaurant in some area in the South. You're like, obviously. But for a senator who says this, it's hard for a lot of people to rationalize that she is that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And so maybe this is not even really about someone trying to rally their troops as much as someone just expressing who they really are. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? They are the troops.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, she's running for Senate. Sure, okay, but 10 years ago she was running for something else. Like, it's like if you can look out there and see that there are random racists, some of them get elevated through the party ranks.
A lot of them do, which mm-hmm. is why it's systemic.
Yeah, like, and so I want to read Mike Espy's response. He says, Cindy Hyde-Smith's comments are reprehensible. They have no place in our political discourse in Mississippi or our country. We need leaders, not dividers, and her words show that she lacks the understanding and judgment to represent the people of our state, which is a really nice, reasonable response considering that she's talking about going to a lynching. So Mike Espy being very professional there. By the way, Cindy Hyde-Smith she's a Republican. She was a Democrat up until 2010 when she switched parties. She was already in elected office and she swapped over. She says because of her conservative values, mm-hmm. I think we're seeing some of them on display right now. So like it's she was totally, less than a decade ago, she was a Democrat.
Right, it's totally coincidence that the woman who accidentally said something racist switched her whole lifetime party commitment mm-hmm. when the black man was in the highest office
in
Atlanta.
It's 2 years after, yeah.
I mean, it's not like we didn't see that happen a lot everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, and think about—
it's total coincidence, because obviously she didn't mean to say this, she didn't mean it like that, we're taking it the wrong way, it's us, mm-hmm. obviously.
We're being really unfair right
but
now.
You know that, like, President Obama getting elected, it just kind of kicked off Reconstruction again, this new version of mm-hmm. it, this, oh no, never again kind of feeling, where there was so much progression, but there also was so much disgust and anger.
Yeah.
And irrational at that.
Well, and also, so—
and that's part of why we are where we are now.
Mm-hmm. And we're right now, we're waiting for the final results of a couple of important close races, governor's races in Florida and Georgia, and then the Senate race in Florida as well. And so those were some of the races that were really ground zero for racism.
Right.
As a unifying campaign tactic, that white nationalism is what we're organizing on. Forget the tax cuts, that didn't really work out. We don't have anything else. It's all xenophobia and racism with a little bit of misogyny occasionally. And I was hoping that that would be repudiated. But overall, I mean, look, maybe the Democrats will win in one or two of these races that are still waiting to be called. But Amar Campanajar was beaten by an explicitly Islamophobic campaign in California. Steve King won, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. And after Ron DeSantis said all of the crazy racist things that he said, she suddenly feels like after the election, after watching everything that happened in advance of her runoff, I have to do this. I have to make a joke about a lynching in Mississippi.
No, but it's not that I have to do this. It's that, oh my goodness, I can be myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more of that than it is, I really need to win to do this. It's like, oh, I won't lose if I'm open and honest about who I am.
Yeah, I guess I mean,
that's where
I
we are now.
Not
and I think
do this.
The president has kind of led the way. And I think I've said this before, that we used to be in this space. Racists have always existed. But for a little bit, we were largely in this space where they were quiet. Mm. And not in their actions, but just in like in public, people weren't saying stuff out loud on TV mm-hmm. with these high profile jobs like they are now, for fear of, they were making, you know, behind the scenes decisions, terrible decisions that affected people of color everywhere, but not so much, there was like one type of person that would go, you know, be in front of cameras and say something like mm-hmm. that. But now it's everybody, and I don't think it's because it's like, you know, this political strategy, like, oh, now I'm going to be like that. I think it's that the president started doing it. And so now you realize that it doesn't hurt if can not hold it in anymore.
Yes, I think that he is making it seem more acceptable. But I also wonder, like, in terms of saying it on TV, they didn't used to have Fox News. Now they have Fox News, so they can do it. And in terms of like you just saw that video of Cindy Hyde-Smith. Do we know that pre-cell phone cameras, that stuff wasn't getting said all the time, we just didn't have access to it? If you didn't go to the rally, there wouldn't be any video evidence of it,
yeah.
I wonder. And obviously racism has been around since before America was a country, but it is more openly accepted in a lot of different ways than I think we've seen before.
Yeah.
So that said, we do have to take a break. When we come back, we're gonna have a little bit more of it after a little bit of fun with Kellyanne Conway, who finally admits, without admitting that she's admitting, that the Jim Acosta video was manipulated after this. Welcome back, everyone, to the Damage Report. Johnny Rolla, Brooke Thomas here as well.
Hi.
Let's move on to something a little bit weird.
Okay.
So last week, to justify the banning of a reporter from the White House, which many people have moved on from and are forgetting that
again,
that's like fundamentally an assault on the First Amendment.
Bizarre here. Thing that I cannot believe we cannot all agree on. What is happening?
The discussion about the First Amendment here in this country is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. Like, this is the most blatant way that you violate that in America. And most people were like, Jim Acosta seems kind of rude. I don't care. I don't need to stand up for the Constitution.
People want teachers to be able to say the N-word in the middle of the classroom, but they don't want reporters to be able to ask questions.
Yeah.
It's this pick and choosey thing.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway, to justify that, the press secretary went to a conspiracy theory website, downloaded an altered video of an altercation between Jim Acosta and an intern, and then posted it as if it was real. Now, we and everyone else have shown that it was altered. People can see that, but in 2018, moving into 2019, we don't accept reality in this country.
Right.
So Kellyanne Conway is going to both admit that the video was doctored and refuse to admit that the video was doctored at the exact same time, as you'll see.
The video was altered, and there are experts who have looked
but
at
that
it
to
make
sped
it look,
up?
Speed it up to make it look, pardon?
Oh, well, that's not altered, that's sped up. They do it all the time in sports to see if there's actually a first down or a touchdown.
What sport does she watch? She made references to football, but I don't think she's actually seen it.
Right.
So first of all, I believe that the dictionary definition of sped up is altered to be faster. So yeah, that is changing it.
Right.
And it's not like they sped up the video. They sped up one bit of the video to change your interpretation of that bit. And it worked. Those on the right now believe that he Jackie Chan'd that intern in the face somehow. And she said he put his hands on the intern, which even in the altered video, his hands literally never touch her. And she says later on, he needs to apologize to that intern. Now, while he didn't karate chop her, he does apologize in the video. He says, oh, sorry, miss, or something to that effect.
Also, like this right here, listen. Even if he were in the wrong, because the rule, they're saying, it was so disrespectful. There were other people who deserved a question. There should be something better in place to get someone else the ability to talk than physically snatching something out of somebody's hand. That was completely unprofessional, inappropriate behavior, even on her behalf. And I think that she's this, White House aide has been almost like victimized a little bit, like, he touched her this. It's inappropriate for me to like snatch something out of your hand if I'm not happy with what you're saying. That's not what we should ever be doing in the workplace, ever.
Yeah, by the way, that video that we were showing you was the manipulated version.
Wait,
so if it looked like he was chopping her, it's because it was
I'm
altered.
So focused on this. Like, that is not okay.
I agree. They.
That is
they don't
not
speed
okay.
up video in football replays. They slow it down so that you can see it more. It's the exact opposite. You would never, ever speed anything
right,
up. That doesn't
that.
Make any sense.
But now, it worked though, because now instead of talking about what actually was wrong, we're like debating whether fast forwarding is altered or like if it happens in sport. It's like this, she works.
Yeah. Yeah, well, look, that's why we started this discussion with describing what this actually is. And some people... There are some people that they just give up. It's about Jim Acosta, or it's about Trump, or it's about is that really news? Is that really news? When he effectively ends the First Amendment, what do you think that's going to look like? It's going to involve him, first of all, and it's going to involve a particular reporter, a reporter who you might agree with on some things or not. Like, ignoring a story like this just because it involves a person like Jim Acosta is ridiculous. And by the way, it is playing in exactly into Donald Trump's, like, the whole reason he's doing this to Jim Acosta is because he thinks his fans will accept it. And if you are not one of his fans, but you still accept it because you don't like Jim Acosta, you are doing his work for him. He is doing a trial balloon to see if he can unilaterally strip the credentials of people that come into the White House and do reporting. And if they can do it to Jim Acosta, they can do it to literally anyone else. A couple days after that, he said that they might do it to more reporters if they don't show sufficient respect to the White House and to the president. Those are the ramblings of Saddam Hussein. Those are the ramblings of an autocratic dictator. But now Donald Trump is doing it. And some people out there are saying, this isn't news, it's about Trump, I don't like it. You are seeing him lay the groundwork for ending media, free access and information coming from the media about what the government is actually doing. And some people have just opted out because it's about Trump and there's too much news about Trump. They just give up the First Amendment, which I consider one of the important ones, honestly. Yeah. Because it's about Acosta. Is it really news?
Right.
God, people are so damn frustrating.
CNN. The message that this team is trying to get out, it works, you know? Like, their followers now have, you know, a whole new argument to go with.
Yes. Frustrated.
I just don't want to see a place where you have a question that the president doesn't like, and not only do you have him saying, you know, sit down, you're stupid, you're racist, you're a loser, but you also have someone else snatching microphones. Mm-hmm. That is just not that. Nobody deserves to have to work in that environment.
Yeah, yeah. And in terms of the environment in this country, we have, you know, 30 to 40% of the country is like, we want effectively a fascist state. We don't care. Yeah. We'll vote for those people. And then you have another chunk of people, much smaller, who are like, we don't want it technically, but we will do absolutely nothing to stop it. We won't even speak out to stop it. We will just allow it to happen and we will lay down as it occurs. And in fact, we will criticize the people who are actually trying to stop that from happening.
Right.
So that is America in 2018. You can probably find historical examples of that happening in other countries and other times. It didn't end well for them. Okay, with that said, why don't we turn to another horrible person? Steve King was able to win re-election for some reason, I don't know. And look, he's a xenophobic guy. He hates everybody, effectively, who doesn't look exactly like Steve King. And recently, a news report came out. If we could bring up this screenshot, you're gonna see from the Weekly Standard. Did Steve King just refer to immigrants as dirt? And this is based on an overheard conversation between him and some people, I think at a little rally or a little meeting or something like that. So at that point, it was just a reference in this article. And Steve King responded by attacking them, saying, the weekly No Standards has joined HuffPo at the bottom of the lying journalistic gutter. No question that now their purpose is to write willful lies to advance a leftist agenda. We threw this Weekly Standard writer out after he disqualified himself. So there, strong response. They're lying. I didn't say that. They're trash. So the Weekly Standard released the audio, which you'll now hear.
And when I get it all put together, then I put about a half a dozen jalapeno peppers, just whole, drop them, float them around in there. It scares off some of the people, so there's a little more for the rest of us to eat.
That's why you have to have the jalapeno pepper.
Yeah, do me on. I raised a bunch this year, and they don't have enough buckwheat. So I guess I'm gonna have to go get some dirt from Mexico to grow the next batch.
Trust me, it's on its way.
Well, yeah, there's plenty of dirt. It's coming from West Coast too, and a lot of other places besides. This is the most dirt we've ever seen.
So there, in talking about making some stupid soup of his, he says he needs to get dirt from Mexico. She says, oh, trust me, it's coming. And he says, yeah, more than ever before, and it's coming from California too. They're not talking about soil, and they're not talking about manure. They're talking about human beings as dirt.
Yeah.
So he apparently has learned a lot from his narrow victory in this last election.
Yeah, that he can be who he wants to be.
Yes.
Like,
he can just say it.
He is also rare that he, you know, is almost laid down and stopped really denying this stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess he's the most enthusiastic, the most open about it.
Like,
yeah, even to the point where some of these Republican organizations have had to criticize him. They don't really do anything, but they have criticized him at least a little bit. And so thank you to the Weekly Standard for both originally reporting on this and then, you know, coming with the receipts, as they say, afterward, after he just... He knows what he said, and he just lies because he thinks either maybe they didn't record it or nothing matters anymore. And I, like Donald Trump, can just call anything negative fake news. That's how we run our campaigns now.
Also, even in that tweet, like, he admits to like kicking a reporter out. Here we go again, everywhere.
Exactly.
Like, is
so
that,
why did you really kick the reporter out?
Right,
then?
And is that how you want to live? Like, you know, supporters of his. Like, if you don't like something that is being reported about them, or if they don't want, you know, everyone to hear it, are you okay with, you know, reporters just not being able to be privy?
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
A lot of them are, unfortunately.
Okay,
we're gonna take a break. When we come back, some good chart, bad chart for you. What do Americans think about the results of the midterm elections? And what do we think about the opposing political party? After this. So this is a live show, and because it's a live show, we get to transition to some breaking news.
Yeah.
It has been announced that Stan Lee has passed at 95 years of age. a good long life for the creator of Marvel and basically every superhero you've ever heard of. We don't know exactly yet what he died of, but he has had a series of different health problems, including pneumonia vision problems. His wife passed last year, I believe it was. So, you know, he's 95.
Yeah, like, he's also 95. Some health problems. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, very sad moment. I mean, look, the last year or so has been like there were things coming out about how he had apparently treated some nurses, which was not good information. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, clouds his reputation. But in terms of what you're seeing here, like the creation of the biggest movie thing that's ever existed, he created Marvel with Jack Kirby in 1961. He created the Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, Black Panther, the Incredible Hulk, X-Men, Iron Man, and the Avengers. Any one of those things would be massive to have created that.
Yeah.
But he has effectively created more huge characters than, is there anyone? I don't know. Shakespeare maybe has created more characters, different worlds. I don't expect that crossover to come anytime soon.
Yeah.
But all these movies, like it has become this huge force. Whether you like those movies or not, and I understand they're not for everybody. Just his contribution to pop culture is as big as anyone else in the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So sad day, passed away. Not surprising day, but sad
live.
Day.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Yeah. Although, as we pointed out at the end there. Some bad stuff came out. Okay, with that said, we wanted to go over a bunch of these charts. We're not gonna be able to do all of it, but we would like to do at least a little bit. What do Americans actually think about the midterms we just had? Let's dig a little bit into some of the initial data. Let's bring up this first chart and you're gonna see responses to some questions. In terms of what they think about the midterm results. So you're seeing there, just look at the left two. So that's comparing 2016 on the leftmost, and in the middle, 2018. How do you feel about the results of Tuesday's midterm elections? Enthusiastic was higher in 2016, but satisfied but not enthusiastic is now like, that's the plurality, I guess. In terms of upset is very low. People really upset back in 2016 for, I think, understandable reasons. But I love the idea that America is best characterized as satisfied but not enthusiastic. That would be the subtitle of our country at this
Who's
point.
Who's satisfied?
I mean, I think, like, let's say you're, you know, a lib or whatever, mm-hmm. and you don't want Donald Trump to have a huge amount of political power. Well, we took over the House, so I'm satisfied. I'm not enthusiastic about what's going to happen, but at least it's moving in the right direction.
I don't think satisfied is equal to. It's not the worst that could have happened. Like, do you know what I mean?
You think that's just a bad word for it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw. So Brett, in our document where we put together stories, he said America says meh about midterm elections.
Yes.
Sort of sums it up.
Yeah. So yeah. Of course, it's not for a lot of people. It's not the worst thing that could have happened. But if one is happy that Democrats took the House, mm-hmm. you can't be satisfied, and even in the same space as Donald Trump being president. Still.
Well, I mean, I think those are different groups in 2016 and 2018. That's sure. all Americans there,
yeah.
Sort of summed together. So I found this really interesting. Let's bring up this next one. And you're gonna see what people think of people who identify in the opposite party. So on the left, it's what Democrats think about Republicans. On the right, what Republicans think about Democrats. And look, so it's interesting. I guess the headline here is 61% of Democrats think that the Republican Party is racist, bigoted, or sexist. But 31% of Republicans think Democrats are racist.
But the biggest numbers on this side, it comes from Democrats.
Well, let's keep that up there.
Oh, yeah. The side of my face. That Republicans think Democrats are spiteful, and Democrats think Republicans are racist and bigoted and sexist. That's Twitter.
Yeah, that might be the effect of Twitter. But here's the thing, like, I think, I do this a lot. I think you should get to do one of two things. You can either say that Democrats are spiteful, or you can live day to day just to drink sweet, sweet lib tears.
Right,
the party of trolling. They're the party of triggering people, of going out of their way to just make people feel bad. But we're spiteful?
But I think the spitefulness, there's a lack of accountability. So when DeSantis says something racist, and then Democrats say, hey, that was racist. Mm-hmm. Republicans say, oh my goodness, you're so ridiculous. You're mm-hmm. so sensitive. Everybody's so offended these days. You're just trying to bring him down because he likes Trump. And it's like, whoa, can we just talk about what he said?
Mm-hmm. If we bring it up one more time, I just want to say the one takeaway that I do agree with both parties, Democrats and Republicans, 54% say that they're ignorant. Republicans and Democrats, 49% say that they're ignorant. We have accidentally come across the truth Americans largely are ignorant. So I'm glad that we can both recognize it on both sides there. And evil is pretty high on both sides. That's worrying there. Anyway, thank you for watching the show. Thank you for coming, as always. Great to have you here on Mondays. Thank you as well, and we'll see you tomorrow morning. Thank you for listening to the Damage Report podcast, the show covering the true threats facing our country and what you can actually do about them. You can support this free podcast by leaving us a review and giving us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you happen to be listening to it. Every review helps more people discover the show at no cost to you. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.